As we dismiss our children to Children's Church, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I ask you to find your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Short scripture, long message this morning. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I ask everyone, if they will, to stand in honor of reading God's Word together this morning. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with an understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us as we look at your word this morning. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, may it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. And I pray, Father, as we look at your word, we'd study it with integrity. Your son, Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been working our way in the series through the book of 1 Peter. And we came across a couple of weeks ago and started looking at submission. We started looking at the slave-owner relationship and how we talked about how today that's not prevalent as it was in that day, but still, though it would be difficult even in that day and today as well, a relationship with someone who maybe does not treat you as you think you ought to be treated. It's big picture how we looked at it, and we saw how as those servants, if you will, we'll call them instead of slaves, that they are to submit to God. And their masters, if you will, their employers, if you will, we kind of looked at it that way. We submit and do our work as if unto the Lord, because He is who we represent. Jesus Christ is who we represent day in, day out in each of our activities. And then it said that last week, as we look at the scriptures, in the same way, wives. And those four same words, as we looked at them, show up again today. In the same way, husband. So it's saying this to us a couple of different occasions, but it's reminding us who we represent. It's reminding us who we are living for. The first and the most important step that any person could ever take is to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But in that, in all of our everyday activities, our everyday life, through our workplaces, yes, through our marriage relationships, yes, we are to remember who we represent. We are to remember who it is we are living for. We are to remember who it is we are following after. And His name is Jesus. This week, husbands, I know I talked to you on several different occasions last week. But husbands, we do have a larger responsibility. Why? Because God made us the head of the home. And we're called to represent Jesus to our families, to lead our families to know Christ more, to lead our loved ones to know Christ more. We are the head of the home. Now you may look at it, wives, and say, you know, I'm the neck and I can turn the head no matter whichever way I want to go. But look, we're a team. The marriage relationship is a team, and we work together. Each has its own individual responsibilities. I know this. God's Word knows this. It's not surprising to God. God Himself ordained the marriage relationship. And He's the one that gives us the instructions that we receive in other parts of Scripture as well, but here also in 1 Peter chapter 3. But the biggest thing that is often overlooked and often missed out upon in the marriage relationship, husband and wife, and that detail is action. The marriage relationship takes work. The marriage relationship takes action on both parties' part, the husband and the wife. It takes action, working hand in hand, side by side, with disagreements every once in a while. But we're turning to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to see us through those difficulties and those struggles in which we may face. So this week, as we look at that, I want us to remember that oftentimes when the marriage relationship seems as if it's gone too far and it's too late to intervene, I want to share with you one verse of Scripture that I want you to never forget. That verse of Scripture is Luke chapter 1, verse 37, which states, "Nothing is impossible for God." Nothing is impossible for God. So marriage takes work. Since marriage takes work, we need to work hard. In your fill in the blanks that you have in your bulletins this morning, the husband often says, "Why does she not submit to me?" We're going to look at four different things, and I think we see in this one verse of Scripture that gives us the information on why that often does not take place. The first, and within your fill in the blank, is this: spend time with your wife. Spend time with your wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says this: "Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives." Men, the first thing we must realize is your wife will not and cannot submit to you if you're never at home. Men, we're the leader of the homes. I'm one that's firmly convinced that as the home is going is how the church is going. And men, we have a key role in the responsibility of our homes. Spending time first and foremost with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also spending time with our wives, making sure that we set aside those times. Too many men in today's day and age, they consider themselves, "You know what, I live at the same address." But that's not the same thing that this is saying here about spending time with our wives. The statement "to live with" means more than just being able to see them in the room down the hall. Spending time with our wife means to dwell in close harmony with one another. To dwell in close harmony with one another. Christian workers and even church people, oftentimes they allow themselves to become too busy in doing ministry things. Now, don't take me wrong. Ministry is good. God has it there for a reason. But we need to be on guard and make sure that we're spending time with our Lord and Savior first, and then spending time with our spouse, with our wives, spending time with our wives. Because too often what takes place, even in the life of the church, is people spend so much time going around putting out fires in the homes of the lives of others that their own home falls by the wayside. I'm not saying avoid helping others. In fact, the Scripture point blank tells us to love one another. This is how people will know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. But I'm saying this: be sure your priorities are kept in perspective. Jesus is first. You obey Him first. The marriage relationship is the second best relationship any of us could ever have. We need to live like it. Men, we need to spend time with our wives. In the busyness of life, your marriage must be constantly fed and nurtured by spending regular time together. So one thing that we don't need to overlook in spending time together is this word that men, we struggle with. It's communication. Now I know there's a lot of men in this room that have the gift of gab. But that's not what I'm talking about, not what the Scriptures is referring to. It's about spending time together. In fact, there's this little girl who asked a boy named Tommy to play house with her one day as they were at school. She approached him and said, "Hey, Tommy, you want to play house?" He says, "Sure, what do you want me to do?" The girl replied to him, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to communicate your feelings to me." And Tommy, a bewildered look, said, "What do you mean?" "That's exactly right. Perfect. You can be the husband." Man, that's oftentimes what we do in our lives. You know, too often what we are involved in is we come home and our wives ask us, "What are you doing? What are you thinking about?" And here's what we do: nothing. Let me tell you something, wives. When we say we're thinking of nothing, it means we're thinking of nothing. We can't do much at one time. It's difficult. Not much up there, is it, brother? A scientific research from a Scientific American had to research that learned this. The average woman speaks 20,000 words per day. The average man speaks 7,000 words a day. Now, no matter how above average your wife is and below average you may be, we need to have communication with our spouse. We need to have that interaction with our spouse to show them, yes, I truly do care. You see, the first step of action is talking. But it doesn't stop there. You have to put it into your feet to action. Your words cannot mean nothing. The things that we say needs to make an impact. So husbands, men, Greg, let's get outside of our comfort zone and let's spend more time with our wife and let them know just how much they care. And let's carry on conversations with our wives. Second, within your fill in the blank, why does she not submit to me? You need to, number two, study your wife. Study your wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says this: with an understanding of their weaker nature. Now, how do you begin to understand something? You study it. Now, men, I know college football season has come around, and I could ask you, I've shared with you before, and you can talk about that eighth grader that's the class of 2030 that's going to be on your team someday. We study college football. We study all types of things. We need to study our wives. The Greek word being used here for study is gnosis, which means understanding, comprehension, knowledge of a subject, acquainted with, something that is studied, and taking note of the content of a subject. In other words, you need to be just as aware of your wife as you are about your own self. Now, men, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 says, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Men, we know our own bodies really well. We can sit here and talk about how long ago we used to be able to do these things and we wouldn't wake up sore the next day. We can sit and talk about how we know what our limitations are. We know what we struggle with. No matter how boastful we are, we know that we get tired more often and quicker maybe than we used to. Let me ask you this question. Do you know your wife that well? Do you know your wife well enough to understand what her limitations are? What she struggles with? Do you understand, as we see there in the Scripture, that she is the weaker? We'll look at that closer here in a moment. This is also a reference that you need to know and understand that your wife needs attention morally, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. Your wife should mean something to you. Understand her. In studying your wife, you also recognize that she is a weaker vessel. Now, this reference here is to physical strength, not lesser. Because it also goes on to say, which we'll look at here in just a moment, that we are co-heirs. Not one better than the other. Yes, God did create an order, but one is not better than the other. We're co-heirs in this life together, all in need of a Savior. His name is Jesus. Working side by side and hand in hand. Many wives today are morally, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually stronger than a husband. Amen. Women need to be that. But men, we need to be that too. We need to step it up in our Bible study. We need to step it up in our obedience to what God has instructed. We need to step it up in our homes to be the leader of the home that God ordained and established us to be. We need to be the men that God's called us to be. We do all that by studying our wife. right after we study our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I was talking to Randy and Sandy earlier about last week's message, and they were sharing with me, and Sandy mentioned how, you know, Randy, he really opened up and said, you know, we need to just, not that they're having a struggling marriage relationship, but let's how can we strengthen our relationships? He said, I've got a question for you, Sandy. And he asked, Randy asked her, how would you describe me? And Sandy said, I know exactly the answer. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And Randy was confused. He said, What do you mean? She said, A, adorable. B, beautiful. Cute, delightful, elegant, fashionable, gorgeous, and hot. Randy said, oh, thank you. But what does IJK stand for? She said, I'm just kidding. We need to study our wives. We need to study the marriage relationship. And I know this is not necessarily touchy, but a sticky relationship in the marriage when Satan wants to cause our marriages to stumble and fall. That's why I felt like we need to mix in a little humor. Because of the importance of the marriage relationship. The Bible shares, men, how we're to love our wives like Christ loved the church in that He gave His life for her. We need to be willing to do just that too. We need to love our wives. We need to study our wives, get to know them more. Get to know them day in and day out more. So why does she not submit to be number three? You need to show honor to your wife. Show honor to your wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life. The Greek word here for honor is timē, which means honor, status, respect, value, and worth. In other words, you should recognize and show others that your wife carries great weight in everyday aspects of your life. Show people in this world that your wife is important. Because each time we make an offhand statement, feelings are easily hurt. Not intentional. We just need to be on guard. And we need to show honor to our wives. And the world needs to see that. Because you're here this morning, they're looking at you trying to find something that's wrong. And in the marriage relationship, they're going to look to you and see, is he honoring his wife? We are to continually demonstrate that you highly respect her. Or not, is sometimes often the case. Because the world is looking at us. Every husband should ask himself, does my wife feel that I consider her special? A special part of my life. A part of my life that cannot be replaced. Do we show the world the honor to our wives that we need to? Yes, when she is weak and when she is facing struggles, we're to praise her and protect her. But guess what? When she's strong and flourishing, praise her and protect her. Show her honor. Here are eight quick ways to show her honor in your lifetime. This is not exhaustive examples. It's just to kind of get you to thinking. Talk to her. Don't just talk at her. Talk to her. Don't just talk at her. Save the best of you for her. Be sure that you put forth effort in honoring your wife. Keep your eyes on her. Do not allow your eyes to wander. Be consistent in your behavior. Guess what? She married you. Be yourself. Be yourself. Support her dreams. Her dreams should be your dreams too. Speak highly of her, because negativity breeds more negativity. Build her up. Don't tear her down. Handle conflict fairly. Not every disagreement is her fault. Give her full access to your life. You cannot live life together if you shut her out. This is one way how we honor our wives. Now, wives, I want to share something real quickly with you. And I'm going to revolve around Andy Griffith's show. Now, remember this. Men were to honor our wives. This Andy Griffith show takes place in a gentleman named Jim Lindsay, played by James Best, plays the guitar. And there's Bobby Fleet, the band with the beat, comes around. And Andy, through manipulation, brings them together. To make a long story short, he asks Jim Lindsay, do you want to play for him? Bobby Fleet, would you want him to play for you? And Bobby Fleet says, well, I dig it. Show goes on for a few minutes, and Bobby Fleet, the band with beat, leaves. And Andy says to Jim, says, now, Jim, he digs you. You dig him right back. Wives, what I'm saying, your husband should honor you. You honor him right back. It goes both ways. It goes both ways. It should be, yes, an expectation, but we shouldn't expect for them to be better than we are. The wife-husband relationship, if we work towards being the best we can be, giving them our all, and all these other details that get in the way will work out. Now, I know Satan wants to cause marriages to stumble. There may be someone here this morning that's having a struggle within your marriage. Put God first. And you may be doing that. Show honor to your wife. Show honor and respect to your husband. And like we talked about last week, there may be marriages here. It's not your first wife or your first husband. And God shares with us, as I shared with you last week, when you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Keep your eye on the prize, who Jesus is. And today, make a difference. Today, make an impact. Yes, I know and understand that's not God's plan, but God still loves you, and He has a plan for your life. Live it. Be what He's called for you to be. Don't allow your circumstance, don't allow Satan to point you back to your circumstances and say, you're condemned because you're divorced. Because I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You don't have to right now, but Romans 8, 1 says this. There is therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. Don't let Satan distract you by a lie. Move forward. Live life in obedience to Jesus Christ, keeping Him first in your life, placing Him as a priority, placing your husbands, placing your wives as a priority, wives placing your husband as a priority. Last and fourthly, why does she not submit to me? You need to, number four, pray with and for your wife. Pray with and for your wife. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to read all of it again this time. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with an understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Wow. That's a stipulation placed there. This thought has two meanings. The Greek word here for hindered is ankopto, which means hinder, prevent, irritate, impede progress, and the idea of being blocked off. In other words, the effectiveness of the husband's prayers relies heavily on how he treats his wife. Men, that's a strong statement that we do not need to overlook. The effectiveness of our prayers hinges greatly upon how we treat our wives. Let me read it to you again. Hear what it says. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with an understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. The way we correct this obstacle between you, your spouse, and with God is to repent and change direction. To repent and change direction. Strengthen your marriage by praying with and for each other. Husbands, let your wife hear you pray for her. Wives, let your husband hear you pray for her. In fact, I want to extend a challenge to you, to every couple here this morning. First, repent and restore your relationship with God, then with your spouse. Second, I want to challenge you, starting today, not tomorrow, not next week, let's not be procrastinators, let's start today. I want you to pray with and for your wife. And listen, men and women, men, you may have to use some of those 7,000 words. Let them hear you pray for them. Let them hear you pray for them. Paige and I started that a long time ago, and there's nothing sweeter than to hear my wife pray on my behalf, because I am a poor, wretched, weak vessel. And to know that my wife is praying for me by name lifts my spirits. And I pray the same does for her, because we pray for each other each and every day. And we allow each other to hear that prayer take place. So I want to challenge you to pray with and for each other. And I promise you that through this, your marriage relationship will be strengthened. And it will grow. All because you're bowing your head and you're praying to the Father to be with your spouse. To protect your spouse. To direct and guide, as we've looked at, your spouse. Let them hear you pray for them. And let me tell you something else that's even has a greater sweetness to it. Not only are you praying with and for each other, but when you have that answered prayer, where you've prayed for a long time, as you shared this morning, when you have that answered prayer, and you've heard one another pray for it, and then you realize God has answered that prayer and met that need, changed that person, changed that obstacle, removed that difficulty, whatever the case may be. How much more do you think you and your wife or you and your husband can celebrate an answered prayer? It's a tremendous difference. So pray with and for your spouse. Let them hear you utter those words. You don't have to start out great, but start out speaking from the heart. Start out praying for protection and guidance. Start out praying for you to be a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better co-heir in the kingdom of God. As we get ready for a song of invitation, I know today's message is about the husband-wife relationship. The marriage does not begin until we surrender to Jesus. God ordained the true marriage relationship. There's a lot of people in this world that are married. But if they don't know Jesus, it's not God ordained. So I want to speak to us here this morning. You may be in a married relationship, you may not be in a married relationship. Big picture, we need to know Jesus. We need to put Him first in our life. We need to let others know that live around us, whether it be a co-worker, a wife, or a total stranger. We need to show them that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Because that's how an individual gets into heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You may think, well, that's exclusive. No, it's not. Because He says, I want all to come. It's inclusive. You have to make a choice. You have to decide and determine who you're going to put your faith in. If you put it in Greg, you will be let down. You put it in self, you will be let down. Life will lead you down discouraging paths. You put it in Jesus, He will see you through each and every obstacle. He didn't say life will be easy, John 16:33. He said, I came that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. We need to trust in Him. So you might say, well, how can I do that? The Bible shares that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a free gift for the taking, but you've got to take the first step. And if you will take the first step, He will carry you the rest of the way. So I urge you, and I invite you, I plead with you, come. Won't you come? As we stand, as we sing hymn number.